Hey everybody, what's up? And this week we're doing our tri-weekly major recap podcast where we're going to be talking about everything agriculture in case you missed out on our last three podcasts. And at the end, me and Arthur are going to be doing a fun game of Get to Know You. I've been wanting to do that for a long time and we finally fit it into our schedule, and we're going to do that at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned and let's get into agriculture. Okay, so to start everything off, as we know, everything goes through many developing stages, and there are three major agricultural revolutions that take place. The first took place about 2,000 years ago, and that was the first introduction into subsistence farming, as well as the domestication of plants and animals. Then in the second agricultural revolution, which happened in the 1970s, we began more industrialized with the Industrial Revolution, and this increased in the innovations in the machinery and further improved knowledge of different farming and agricultural techniques, such as fertilizer and selective breeding. And then finally, the most recent revolution is the third agricultural revolution, which took place in the 1960s, and that included the Green Revolution, where agro-business models started to control the development, planting, processing, and selling of food products to consumers. So that's where farming and agricultural practices became more commercialized. And of course, with everything, there are many different hearths. Animal domestication is linked back to Central Asia, and plant domestication is also around that area as well. Although many people do believe that plant domestication began before animal domestication in the same region and continent location. Of course, there are many different hearths that contributed to different types of crops. In Asia, you have a lot of grains, wheats, and in other places around the world, such as Africa and Mesoamerica, you have different fruits and vegetables, such as corn and potato, and potato is not a fruit. It is a starch, but you have different things such as that were introduced. And then in Africa, you have different types of crops that, again, are specific to different areas. And then with the introduction of trade and such, and the Columbian Exchange, which was the movement of food and other products throughout the world from the Eurasian continents and the Mesoamerica areas, as well as Africa. And this kind of diffused food all over, so it's now readily available for anyone, anywhere, at any time. So basically you can get food from, say, Africa at your local grocery store, which about a long time ago, 1,000 years, was thought not even possible. And then because it is geography, we have to talk about the different aspects of physical geography and different features on Earth that prevent different farming, and how we have adapted and able to produce and use these spaces for agricultural purposes. And then, so irrigation, terrace farming, and deforestation, as well as desertification, are some of the main ones and ways that people have shaped the land. Briefly, as I discussed, you can go more in depth on those in the last three podcasts, mainly the first podcast that we did about this subunit. And basically, these are different techniques that farmers use from a long time ago and then progressively more advanced over the course of time in ways to use the land. Of course, this comes with many different side effects because it really affects the land and can lead to erosion and pollution, as well as the destruction of many ecosystems and habitats for wildlife, and basically the true nature of the earth. And then there have also been developments in techniques for fertilizing soil and other progressions in the production of agricultural products. And then, of course, commercial agriculture has become something that's very well known now, where people are selling crops for a profit. And this has very much replaced subsistence farming, because a lot of people do not focus on raising food for themselves, but for a larger scale. And then technology has had a great impact on the industry. It has allowed for more food to be grown, as well as larger yields and different techniques for harvesting. So the time, effort, and amount quality has really progressed with technology, and that has led to major improvements. You can go into more depth about these improvements if you go back a few podcasts again. I'm not going to go over all of them, and then I'm going to let Arthur talk about the next topic right after I talk a little bit about the greenhouse revolution, and then the different, some more agricultural business sides of things. So the Green Revolution, of course, led to higher yields and disease resistance, and this is kind of the introduction of GMOs. And so GMOs allowed for different foods and stuff to be grown a better quality, faster, and basically be, in terms, quote unquote, better. But there's many controversies, and there are many different impacts that the Green Revolution had. I mean, it did, yes, result in higher yields, and it also contributed to the research and business side of agriculture. And it also kind of led to an adjustment in the fluctuating food prices and kind of settled in. So now we're not having foods that are overly expensive, although sometimes when you go to the grocery store, you're like, I'm not paying that much for a banana. But, and then of course, there are negative consequences, such as the different abuse of land that it all entails. And then this also promoted the the rise of women in the agricultural business. And also this kind of changed the economic status of the world, because this became one of the largest growing industries, because it's essential for people to eat. But in Africa, the Green Revolution did not have a very great success because of the harsh environment and the lacking of transport and infrastructure that exists there. And so with that, I'm going to let Arthur talk about the different types of agricultural regions. Okay, everybody, so for agricultural regions, there's a lot that we talked about in our second podcast of this subunit, but we're just going to glance over it really quickly. So of course, climate has a lot to do with agriculture, because it determines what can be grown where. But of course, through technology and sciences, we have allowed a less tighter grasp of climate to control what we do with agricultural practices. There are different types of agricultural practices that are practiced in particular regions. You can get a further list of those again in our episode, I believe it is either 13 or 12, I'm not really sure, but just go back and whichever one has the subtitle agricultural regions, you can listen more to that. And there are different, again, there are multiple different places where things can be grown, and different things, and different places where certain types of agricultural practices are practiced versus others. Some examples would be plantation farming in the more tropical regions, and dairy farming in the more developed countries, as well as places where it is usually moderate temperatures. And then also there are different types of crops that have been modified to fit different regions, such as spring and winter wheat, which grow in different times and are able to be grown in different areas all year long. Again, there are different economical factors, as Luke mentioned earlier, about agriculture. Extensive land use and intensive land use really play part as to what type of agricultural practice is being practiced in an area. And so extensive land use is where you have most of your ranching and more grain farming, where it does not require as many physical laborers and can be in it requires more space. And then you have the intensive, where it's more hands-on work, such as such as different foods, such as fruits and vegetables, as well as dairy products. And then there are many different changes in the agricultural and agro-business side of things. Agro-business has really taken off, where it's the integration of various steps of the production of food, and the growing and production of food has really become a business for many people versus the subsistence farming, as Luke talked about earlier. And then the impact of large-scale farming, it does supply lots of food for the growing size of our population. I won't get into that now, because I do believe that eventually we're going to deplete all the world's resources, but that's for another day. And these, while these large-scale farms are good for us, they are really damaging the number of farms and the number of self-growing and subsistence farming that's taking place. And it's really decreasing the variety that you see in different places of crops being grown, because many large-scale farms focus on monoculture, which is growing one single crop. And then, of course, there's regional interdependence, where people are relying on other people for different fruits, vegetables, and other foods year-round, because the growing season's all different wherever you go in the world. And then food on a global scale. Through the distribution and the diffusion of these different foods, we now have luxury crops, which are not essential for human survival, but they have high profit margins because they are a commodity. They're well liked, they're wanted, and they are able to be shipped now because of the different trade routes and such. And these products are vastly growing to our demand because we like them, but they're not essential. And then also, this kind of ties back to colonialism and neo-colonialism, where people are kind of respecting the economic, political, and social pressures of former colonies. And this is kind of where you get the difference in growing and producing food. And this all kind of ties back, because even what we were talking about at the very beginning of Luke's podcast still is relevant to what we're talking about now. And it's important to see the connections that you're able to make from the different subunits that we've talked about so far. And then also, in recent years, many people have been aware of the lacking of food production in less developed countries and in developing countries. And so the fair trade movement was an effort to promote higher incomes for producers of more sustainable farming practices, because the farming industry is a very difficult industry to be successful and stable in, as maybe some of you may know, because of different things and different factors such as infrastructure, as well as location, region, and different economic issues as well. And that basically covers most of the different uses and how geography really ties into the use of agriculture, because it depends on where you are in the world that you are able to grow such products, and how the world has become so much interdependent on each other, where we are able to trade and get food from all over to provide for the growing economy, as well as the growing population that we now see approaching 2020. Now, I'm going to lead us into the next mini unit, subtopic, whatever you want to talk about it. And this is what our latest podcast was from last week, about rural land use. And so the cultural landscape of different places also ties into the use and types of practices of agriculture in a specific area, because it just depends on the principles of people and depending on how they live and how they are essentially taught to grow and provide for a stable economy as well as stable society and community. And then of course we talked about other different types of settlements, clustered and and then dispersed settlements, where they're throughout the countryside rather than in small tiny communities clustered in one area. And then of course the Von Thunen model is essential in all agriculture. Although it is not completely accurate, it can be modified to be relevant to today, where you have the more demanding and more essentially cheaper and less space needing types of agricultural practices being practiced closer to the market, and then more extensive land use practices being done further away from the market, such as grains and livestock, and then in the closer to the market in the center of this giant bullseye looking mortal, you have the forest for materials, and then closest to the market you have horticulture for the perishable items. And then of course this all kind of changed with the different advances in infrastructure as well as technology throughout the last years. And then Luke's going to talk about the more economic sides to the Von Thunen model. Okay. So basically, to piggyback off of what Arthur was saying, the Von Thunen model is basically a relationship, or is viewed as the influence of the relationship of agricultural practices to and in relation to the market with land value and transportation costs being the main focus. So basically, if you cost a lot to have land, you're gonna want cheaper transportation. And if it costs cheaper to buy land in the further places away from the market, it's gonna cost more to transport. But it kind of levels out, and depending on the amount of space you need to be able to figure out what's best and most sustainable for the type of agricultural practice that you are working in. And of one major factor and point in the Von Thunen model is the bid rent curve, which is basically it shows and is used to indicate the starting position of each land use relative to the market. And this is kind of just a more in-depth look about what the bullseye, as Arthur was saying, kind of model looks like. So basically, from the market, if you were to put a giant stick and then put diagonal sticks connecting that to different points on the outgoing circular areas, you would have the sticks at different heights stretching different distances to kind of show the relationship between the type of agricultural practice that's happening and then distance, and how that kind of correlates with each other. And then so while it does not completely match up with what really goes on today, it is still very much an important model, because it really shows the pattern in how farmers make decisions about using resources for economic use. And his model later went on to be the basis of different infrastructural location models, such as Weber's model and many others who followed. And even though it was created 2 centuries ago, again, that's a long time, it still holds very true, although it was based on non-isotropic plains, which is basically flat land, which we know obviously is not true. And I cover more about that in last week's podcast. And then there's also different changes in markets and transportation that have led to it being not as relevant. But then when you modify it to fit what's actually going on, it still holds very true. And you can see some of the same reoccurring patterns that happen throughout our history. And then with anything, the different changes in modern food production can cause different issues and effects on the earth, as we mentioned earlier. And these are just things that people need to be aware about, because we don't want to overuse the world to a point where we are not able to produce for ourselves, because that would eventually lead to mass devastation and basically the extinction of the human race, which is a growing concern among some people, but I feel it's not important for the time being, because we still have some time, and most likely me and you will probably be dead by then. And so basically, there were other types of agricultural innovations that kind of led us to where we are now. GMOs being a large one, and then the different use of foreign agents to further enhance food development and growth. And there's many different controversies over this. And basically, just to summarize the rural land use patterns, we're seeing the trend in the bad side of things, more or less the good, because there are so many negative factors that outweigh the positive. And so the major issues being health, although not directly related to land use, types of agricultural practices, the effects that it has on the environment, and then also on biodiversity itself, because of the practices that we do more in a more commercialized manner. And then there are efforts put in place to end this, but I do not see large change coming about for a while, essentially. I was trying to come up with a better word than just a while. For a few decades, just due to the extensive and more semi-permanent hold we have on our agricultural industry business and practices we contribute and work in today. And basically that about covers our agricultural unit. So Arthur is gonna give us the very, very, very most simplest explanation and reasoning and debrief over all of this. So basically there are different types of places around the world that contribute to different agricultural practices. Agribusiness is very large and growing due to the commercialization and the improvements and innovations that have brought us to the type of agricultural industry we have today. And basically it has many positive and negative effects, and due to the Von Thunen model, we're able to look at some of the economic factors that tie into the production of food, as well as we are able to see some different social differences in gender roles in the food system. And lastly, we are able to see the improvements and the negative consequences that they have throughout the course of the revolution, essentially, because there's one large revolution that keeps occurring, and we keep adapting and getting better to provide for the needs we have today over our food industry. And so I think that about covers our agricultural unit. Luke, you want to add just some few final words before we get a little knowing each other a little bit more? Sure thing. So this was our agricultural subunit. I hope you guys kind of know a little bit more about what kind of goes into actually eating food. It's very fascinating. And thanks for listening to this set of podcasts. Stay tuned for, we're taking a short break, but in about 2 weeks, we're going to be back with more podcasts, starting a new subunit. And I think you guys are going to like this one, because this one's more technology based, and who doesn't love technology? So let's get into our fun little know you. Okay, so welcome to Get to Know You. I'm going to ask a series of 5 questions to Arthur. He's going to answer, and then I as well, in return, I'm going to answer. And this is kind of just to know me, because I talk a lot, and my podcasts are getting longer, so you don't want to just listen to some random stranger that you happen to know the name of, but know nothing about. Okay, so Arthur, first question. Where were you born? Okay, so if you couldn't tell, I am British, of course, and I was born in East London, and I lived there a long time, and then I finally moved out to here just a few months ago, and so far I really liked it, but I do miss home a little bit just because America is very much different from the United Kingdom and England. Even though we do have some similarities in history and in society, it's such a still large difference. Okay, so to answer that for me, I was born in California. And next question, what kind of got you into geography? And for me, that is just the fascination as to how different factors of the world influence and kind of tie into the development as a global society that we are. Okay, so basically the same thing. I really got into it by just seeing the news and seeing how so many people thought the world was going such downhill, and I really wanted to see how much of that was true. And then again, what you were saying about the connection that the world has to our growing society, and I just found that really fascinating, and that's why I kind of stuck with it, and now I'm here making this podcast with you. So I'm going to ask a question now, if you don't mind. What is it that you look forward to most about these podcasts? What is your main goal other than teaching people? And what do you plan on doing after these podcasts? Okay, so I am currently in the process, I don't know if you know this, Arthur, actually, of creating a new podcast series. A trailer was launched not too long ago called When Life Sucks, and that's more of a motivational podcast. And so maybe you could join us a few times. That would be pretty great. And yeah, so anything for you on that related topic? I know I said 5 questions, but I didn't realize how long this is going to take, because talking about yourself is kind of weird, and I don't really know what to ask. So I think I'll just do a quick summary of myself. So I am kind of a nerd, if you couldn't tell from the podcasts of human geography that I do. I love dogs, and I don't know really. I enjoy adventure and creativity. For you? Okay, so kind of like you, I love animals. I graduated in the top 4% of my class. I don't know. It was very high, and I'm very intelligent, not to rub it in or anything. I kind of, after these podcasts, I'm hoping to go become a professor in geography studies, and hopefully get my third PhD in human and global relations, because I really want to play a bigger fact and further extend my knowledge. And so I think that concludes it just about now. Yeah, I think that's about it. Thanks. I hope that we can maybe get to know you. If you guys leave some comments, we can answer some more questions. These podcasts are kind of getting dull, and I don't know what to do, so we're going to come up with some ideas, and we're going to make them better. But overall, this was our agricultural unit. I hope you guys enjoyed. I know I did, and thanks for listening. Okay, so once again, thanks for listening. On a personal note, this is Arthur, and this is Luke, signing off for this subunit of Know the World. And remember to look up every once in a while. It's a big world, and you never know what you're gonna miss. Thanks for listening, guys.